Welcome to another exciting episode of the Street Photography Show podcast. I am your host, Mark Rossi, and tonight we have the pleasure of speaking with Abdel Latif Wazi. Welcome to the show. How are you?
Thanks a lot. Yeah, I'm fine. Happy to talk to you.
Thank you. Thank you. It's a pleasure as well. I discovered you on Facebook.
Yeah, that's right.
It was in a Facebook group, and I reached out to you. I was looking at your work and I was very impressed. Before the show actually started, you were telling me offline that you've only been photographing for 5 years. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. Around 5 years, maybe six, something like that.
How did you get into photography?
Because of my work. I used to work some years ago as a real estate agent, and I used to take some pictures, as you can imagine, but just for the work, basic pictures. And then one day I started taking pictures of landscapes when I was coming back from appointments. Look, it was essentially about landscapes. And then I came to take pictures in my hometown, but always with empty streets, not about architecture or just atmosphere in the streets. And little by little, I came to include people in the pictures, and little by little I came closer to the people. That's how I got into the photography.
That's interesting. So you said about 5 years ago, and in my head I was thinking, okay, he's gonna say COVID, but you said it was because of work and you were a real estate agent. So I'm assuming when you were photographing like the homes and the apartments and the inside, you know, the rooms. And all that, right? And it's very interesting. So you had the camera in your hand, you were photographing these homes, these places of dwelling. And I mean, what sparked the thought to go and just start shooting out on the street? Did you think, well, it's, you know, I have a camera in my hand and I got some time to kill before my next appointment. Maybe I'll go out and start walking around. Like, how did you actually, like, how did you connect the dots? How did that happen to go from A to B? Do you know what I mean?
I had, at the time when I started this job, I bought a compact camera, a small compact camera from Sony, and I used it only for the work. At that time, I didn't take any pictures if it was only for the work. After 1 year or 2 years of working, one day I was coming back from an appointment and I took a picture outside, but with my mobile phone. And I started taking pictures outside only with my phone. And when I got into the streets, bit by bit, it was always with my phone. Maybe for 2 or 3 years like that. And one day I was there and I was thinking, wow, that's stupid. You have a real camera, compact one, but a real camera, and you don't use it. Why always use the phone? And one day I took the camera and got outside to try to use it outside in the streets. That was nice. Now I use more my camera than my phone. But the phone is very nice because, you know, it's easy. It's in the pocket, always there. And when you see something, you can act very, you know, you can have a quick reaction. You take your phone, snap, and that's cool. When you have to, even if it is a compact camera, you know, you have to take it, operate. Well, it's a bit heavy, if you see what I mean.
We all have phones. We all have smartphones. And, you know, I don't know anybody that doesn't have a smartphone. The images these phones take, especially the current phones, they take amazing images, like the iPhones and even the Google Pixels, amazing images. So you're right. It is sometimes just easy to pull out the smartphone and take a picture. I mean, I do that too. If I don't have a camera with me, that's what I'll do. I'll take out my smartphone because that's the camera that I have. Now, you live in a pretty awesome place. Why don't you tell our listeners where in France you live?
I'm living in Normandy. That's a beautiful place to live. If you appreciate beautiful landscapes and cows, that's cool.
When you go out photographing, when you're doing your street photography, are you there or do you venture out into France?
90% in my hometown.
Do you occasionally plan to go to other cities in France? Do you ever pre-plan a photo trip?
Sometimes it happens that I go to Paris because it's not too far from my hometown. It's about one hour of train. It's really rare, you know. It once or twice, just like that. But I don't plan any movement, any photo trip. I'd like to. I'm a bit lazy, you know.
So I'm looking at your images. Your black and whites, they strike me as very interesting, and I'll tell you why. I like the way you punch them in the sense that they're very high key. You have super, super, super dark blacks, and then you've got super, super, super white. And that's kind of like a style that I also shoot. It's the editing process in which I can see you're doing. Just great images, great black and white images. And then your color, you know, if our viewers go to your feed and they look at your color work, you've definitely done something with the color in a consistent manner too. For example, right away, what I see is when I look at one of your color images that have, let's say, a bit of yellow in them, mm-hmm. They have a particular tone of yellow or orange or tan. And I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, but it seems like it's a constant process that you're doing to these images. And they look really, really cool. Very moody images. And they're just really, really brilliant. What are you doing to these images?
When I started editing and discovering this world of editing pictures, at first I edited with my phone. You know, so you certainly know the app Snapseed, and I had certain tricks that I recorded in the app. Some kind of presets, and when I tweak some pictures and I like the final rendering, I can record it in the application. And if I have another picture that may be a bit in the same mood, I can apply the preset that I done before, and that helps me to get something going on like this. Well, you have to be careful not to always get the same rendering, because it could be quickly annoying, you know, if it's always the same rendering, of course. But that helps to follow a certain style, if I can say it like this. And that was at first with my phone, and then I got into Photoshop, and then I started to get into other style of editing. And now what I often do, it is a mix of my editing on my phone and Photoshop. I go from Photoshop to the phone, or from the phone to Photoshop, until I get something that seems to be pleasant, I would say.
I think you've done what a lot of people do. Like, I did that too when digital came around. Well, maybe not with the phone, because I didn't have a phone then when digital was coming on the scene, but certainly with different programs. So I started with one type of editing program, and then I went into another, and then I went into another editing program. And believe it or not, Adobe wasn't the first program I used. I do use it now, predominantly. In fact, 100%, actually. I use just Adobe now. So I have Lightroom and I have Photoshop. It's funny how it seems like with, I would say, I don't know, the majority of people anyways that I speak with, they always seem to end up with Adobe, you know, the Photoshop and the Lightroom. And when I talk to them, they say the same thing that you have said, and the same thing that I've just said to you, that they've started with other programs and then they just ultimately stopped there. It's like, you know, had I known that, I would have just said, oh, the hell with it. I'll just start with Photoshop right away. You know, and I'm sure there are people that just have started with Photoshop, but there's also a lot of people like me and you who have started using other applications, you know, that led up to Photoshop. You know, you've said you've only been photographing for 5 years. In those 5 years, what were some of the difficulties that you encountered in your photographic journey? Some of the learning curves?
To me, the world of the photography was totally unknown, if you see what I mean. I just took pictures like that, and I never got into the photography, discovering great photographers, learning, getting into the technique, the real technique, if we can say it like that. I had the impression that there was a negative consideration towards the people taking pictures with the smartphones. And I was, a bit surprised. To me, I don't make any difference in my point of view between a picture taken with a smartphone or taken with a camera. If the picture is good, it's good. I don't care if it comes out of a smartphone or out of a camera. See what I mean? If it's good, it's good. That's fine. But I discovered that there was a certain, two clans. I was pretty surprised when I decided to get into the photography world and discover more about the technique. One day I was watching a video on YouTube, in the very first video I watched, and one guy was saying, I do not understand how can new photographers take a camera and take photos like that without being interested by, discovering the big names and so on. And he said something that sounded quite nice in my ear. He said, it is just like taking a guitar and playing the guitar without knowing Jimi Hendrix or things like that. When he said that, I said, yes, man, you are right. I understand what you mean. So then I got to discover the great photographers and the guy was right. So then I discovered Saul Leiter. I have never heard of Saul Leiter before. I didn't know the guy. Cartier-Bresson, etc. You see what I mean? And that was the very first names I discovered. And then I got more into it and more deep. And today I have a small culture, a small photographic culture. And it's really cool because when I came to discover all this, I was happy, man. I discovered something incredible. I was just amazed. Pictures that blew my mind. I was wow. And I have more and more and more to discover, just like a kid. That was super cool. And I'm still very excited about this because I'm still discovering, and it's really cool. The next problem was the technique. En français, on dit we said le triangle d'exposition.
The exposure triangle.
Okay, the exposure triangle. Thank you. And today it is still a bit difficult, but it helps. It helps because sometimes I want to do some things and I can't achieve what I'd like to do. I'm getting into it slowly, but it's okay.
When you say you wanted to achieve something, but you weren't able to, and you're going to retry it sort of thing, do you go back to your inspirations, such as Saul Leiter and the other photographers that you've looked up and reviewed their work and read up on them? Do you go back to them again and say, okay, Saul, come on, give me a hand here, help me out? Do you go back to your sources of inspiration to kind of help you move on?
Yes, that helps. There was a time I was watching a YouTube video about Ernst Haas, and I used to watch it a lot to see how the results he could get from his low shutter speed. And yes, it's motivating. What he does is just phenomenal, but it motivates. It motivates in the way that I'm not pretending I'm going to do it, but just it motivates. Look, watching things like that helps you when sometimes you could feel a lack of inspiration or things like that, or being just a bit down. Yes, I like to do that.
Having said that, and obviously you've mentioned some sources of inspiration for you in your photography, what would you say after 5 years of learning and growing as a photographer, what would you say street photography means to you now? Did you have a different definition of photography when you first started? And now fast forward 5 years, would you say the definition has remained the same, or would you say it's changed? Would you say it's evolved your point of view?
A frank answer, it did not change.
So everything for you in terms of what you expected it to be has still remained the same?
Yes, it is just about capturing something that you have in front of you. If the result is cool, that's it. If it's not, that's it. It's okay.
So after the 5 years, to this day, fast forward again to this point in time right now, when you want to go out, is your enthusiasm the same, or is it even greater now to go out there and photograph, and why?
Oh yeah, man, I can answer you right now. It is just great. It is just greater. It is just greater because with a bit more of technique, I am, just to be frank, I am very, very bad at the technique.
Your pictures look pretty good from where I'm sitting.
Frankly, no.
Frankly, yes. Yeah. <that's it. laughs>
Okay, man. No, that's fine. That's fine. I like joking. It's getting greater to go out to take pictures. Now that I have a bit more technique, you can go a bit deeper in the process and try to get things that I could not have got before. Just cool. It's just cool.
So you mentioned that you were using a Sony camera when you were doing the real estate thing. Are you still using the same camera when you're photographing the streets?
Yes, it's the same. It's a compact camera and the model is a RX100.
Ah, okay. That is a very, very good camera. And you're right, it is very small, that camera.
Oh, wait, it's super small.
Yeah, very stealthy. Certainly like something you can literally hold up to your face and take the picture and boom, back in your pocket like nothing happened.
Yes, exactly.
You know, you mentioned people, right? You photograph people. And I'm looking at your work. You have photographs here of people. Yes, there are what I would say images with people in them. You have images of people here in your feed, but you also have images of unique perspective. For example, you know, I'm looking at a picture of a Mustang, the way you took the shot of the Mustang. There's a picture of, I don't know what this is. I think it looks like someone's, the bend between your thumb and your finger on a hand. There's an image here of glass with water on it. It's got like really cool turquoise blue in the background. You've got a lot of these images, which are, like I said, they're unique perspectives. Do you do that purposely, or do you find that you photograph things like that accidentally? Like, oh, this looks cool, let me take a picture of it. Or do you do that purposely?
Most of the time, just catches my, you know, catches my eyes. Try to take a nice picture, but it's not any process or, you know, preparing the shot or no, nothing like that.
I ask that because I look at them and I think to myself, wow, these, although, yeah, they could have been a moment where it looked cool and you took a picture, but they're so good that it almost makes me wonder if you did plan it, because the pictures are so, so good. Like, especially of the one where you're holding, I guess it's you, I don't know, it's the picture of the thumb and the finger and the way the light hits it.
It's the black and white one?
Yes, it looks really cool. It looks like it was planned, but I mean, that's fantastic.
I was in my sofa at home, and I was just holding my camera and see if I could take a picture of my living room. I was pointing the camera, and it just when I saw my finger and my thumb.
It's a great shot.
That's how I got it. I said, oh, that's nice.
When you're photographing on the streets, you know, in your hometown, do you get a lot of people coming up to you? Like, where you live, is there a lot of photographers that are walking around? Is it something that you know people really don't do there? So in other words, when they see you taking pictures, say with your camera, not your phone, because I think, you know, people using their phones nowadays, in most cases, it's pretty accepted. But if they see you with a camera taking pictures, just like of other people or what have you, do you get a lot of distractions when you're on the street by other people, whether it's positive, negative, or is it a pretty accepted thing?
In my hometown, there are not many street photographers. I can see maybe one when I'm outside, one or two, and not the same day, see what I mean? It's quite rare. When I take pictures in the street, I can see, of course, that people look a bit in a strange way at me. What is he doing, you know, taking picture of a reflection or the ground or whatever. But no distraction, no disturbing. Just last time, I was outside on, at a junction, you know, and a driver told me, what are you doing here? You don't have the right. Well, he was wrong, but no need to argue with him. No, in general, I'm just in the street, I take pictures, and it's pretty fine. Last time when I was in Paris, it's the last time I had to go to see my son, you see, around the Saint-Lazare station, I got two or three interactions with people that came to me, but it's okay. No, in general, it's pretty fine.
Yeah, but that was Paris too. So Paris is populated, and it's very much populated by a lot of tourists as well.
That was Paris. Nothing to see with yes, that's it. Of course.
I mean, I can understand that. When you're photographing, when you started, certainly, did you have that, you know, that classic street photography problem with fear, where people would, you know, were you afraid, basically? Were you afraid to photograph people?
Yes. A bit, and I still, that was the main reason why when I started, I was very careful when I took pictures in the street. I was very careful not to include people, to avoid to have interactions or people coming to me. You took a picture of me, you see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And when I got into the YouTube videos about street photography, I discovered what was street photography and all the genres that you could find, you know, abstract, journalism, documentary, etc., etc. And then I discovered all this, and I said, oh yes, that's cool, street photography. I am not in the street photography, but I'm not so far. And that pushed me to get in streets and to get a bit closer to the people. I really like the process. It's really, really fun. I watched a lot of videos, you know, explaining how to behave in the street, to have an open, you see, an open behavior, just looking cool and relaxed, to make feel the people comfortable with you and so on. That helps. One thing that helps is that when you're on the street, you don't look at the people. You don't make eye contact with the people. As you see, acting just like if you were not in the street. So you take pictures, you do what you do, but no direct eye contact. This prevents from people engaging with you, interacting with you.
Yeah, that's certainly one tip. That's right.
Yes. And sometimes I also like having a small talk with people. It depends on the mood, in fact.
Yes, yes.
It depends on the mood.
It's like anything else, right? In life, people are people, and we interact with people on a daily basis. So it's no different. You're going to be in a situation where you're going to, you know, you're going to need to assess what's happening and how to deal with that
yes.
particular situation. So, you know, if you take the street photography component out of it, really at the heart of the matter, it's just people on people. Right? It is people, and it is human interaction. So, and that's one of the things that, you know, and I've said this over and over again, but that's one of the things that I like about street photography is that it really helps with the individual, the photographer, to learn more about human interaction and how to deal with it and how it works and to better understand it. So you're right. And I've done the same thing. I've, over the years, have studied countless techniques on how to approach a subject, how to handle a situation, if there's confrontation. And I've had some, trust me, I've had some really interesting confrontations because I've been doing it for so long. And, you know, if we were to sit down over a beer, I could keep you there all night with all the stories I could tell you. I look back at that and I think to myself, yeah, it was interesting, but I learned. And this is what I learned. And this is what I would change going forward. And I'm sure you're going through that right now, right? I'm sure you're out there, you're photographing people. And if they give you a particular reaction that you weren't expecting, you handled it in a certain way. And then I'm sure that after a while, you probably scratched your head and you thought about it a little bit, correct?
That's it. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely correct.
Well, you mentioned before that you looked at the works of Saul Leiter and others. In terms of other sources of inspiration, have you turned to any other sources of inspiration, or has it been just pretty much looking at old work of very renowned photographers?
I like things maybe more contemporary, something like Alex Webb, for example. I like very much his work. I like the way he composes with the strong colors. That's really fantastic. And the work he does with the layers, that's absolutely incredible. Things like that. I also like trying to work with the slow shutter speed, black and white or color, whatever. There is a photograph named Olga Karlovac who, or something like that, who make great work with slow shutter speed in black and white. I like things like that also. Olga Karlovac. She makes really beautiful black and white with a slow shutter speed. I don't know if you know her, but if you don't, she's got beautiful work.
Can't say the name's ringing any bells at the moment. I mean, there's so many great photographers out there, I'll be honest with you. But yeah, I'll look that up. When you create an image, is there a particular vision that you want for your photograph? And then further to that, when a viewer is looking at that image, is there a certain type of emotion that you hope will strike the viewer? Or is it just, you know, yeah, it's a cool looking picture, I like it. Is it something deeper with you when you create your images? Because, you know, I look at some of your images and they're very powerful. I look at them and they're like, wow, that's intense. That hits me. Like, you know, I'm looking at one right now that the guy's looking at me and I'm like, what's this guy thinking? Like, he looks like he's not happy. And just as an example, like, do you try to evoke a certain emotion in the viewer with your images?
I just make it, and at a certain point I look at it and I think, yeah, that's cool. I'm not trying to provoke anything. Yes, of course, if it pleases me, I hope, like everybody else, I guess, I hope it will please others, of course.
What's one tip you can recommend to our listeners for their photographic journey to help them improve?
I would say very simply that when we see something, even if it looks very banal or without any interest, if your heart tells you that there is something here, just take the picture. Yes, that's it. I would really say that. Just take the picture when there is something inside you that tells you, oh, there is something here. Don't hesitate. It happens sometimes, you know, you take pictures and 6 months or 1 year later, you're cleaning your machine, or I don't know, you're scrolling through your files, you get to this picture and you say, oh yeah, I've got something here that I did not see before. Between the time you took the picture and the time you look at it later, your brain, your culture, your eye, everything has moved. You have, you know, you look at the picture with a new perspective,
right?
And you can have a really nice surprise.
The pictures I take, I don't delete them all right away. And I do it for the exact same reason that you just said. Because come down the road, like, you know, a month or two or even a year and a half, that's happened to me. I'm looking at my photos that I've taken previously and I'm like, wow, you know, I never saw this perspective, or I never saw this potential in this photograph. And so then I would take that photograph and put it through Adobe and see if I could work some magic with it. So it's very good advice. Where can people go see your work right now?
Right now, on my Facebook profile, it is Wazi twice. And my new Instagram, but it is brand new, wazi.photo.
And I will include these links in the show notes below, just so my listeners are aware, so they'll be able to find you easily. Thank you so much for joining me here on the Street Photography Show. I really appreciate your time.
Thanks a lot, Mark. It was really nice.
Yeah, I really enjoyed speaking with you, and I really enjoyed getting more into, you know, the world of your photography and your dynamic. I really wish you all the best going forward, and I really can't wait to see what else you produce and what you show the world in terms of your photographs.
Thanks a lot, Mark. It was a real pleasure. Take care, and we keep in touch, of course.
If you enjoyed the show, please remember to follow and highly rate the show, as it allows me to continue creating more content for you, my awesome listeners. Also, don't forget to join us next week as new episodes are added on Fridays. Until next time, keep walking and keep clicking. This is Mark Rossi. Bye for now.